Mary
was the blood of blood singing glory to his name. Amen. I'm going to have our scripture by Brother Yarbrough.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Our scripture tonight will come from Ephesians, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 20th verse. Ephesians 4, beginning with the 20th verse. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in holiness. Wherefore, put away lying speaking, every man true in his neighbor, for we are the members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I have read to you from Ephesians 4th chapter, the 20th through the 26th verse. May God add a blessing to the reason of his divine word.
Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, it is again that we come, Heavenly Father, realizing that we have so much to thank you for. For truly, O God, you have been good to us. You watched over us last night and you woke us up this morning to see another day. We realize, O God, that it's not that we've been so good. But Heavenly Father, we realize that it's because of your grace and your mercy that we're still here. And, oh God, we want to say thank you. We want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for your son, Jesus, who came all the way down from heaven and went to an old rugged cross, Heavenly Father, just to die for our sins. Heavenly Father, we realize that he didn't have to do it, but he did it, Heavenly Father. He did it for us. Heavenly Father, he died, but he didn't stay dead. For he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And, oh, God, for this we come saying thank you. We come thanking you, oh, God, for another opportunity to assemble ourselves in the house of prayer. Oh, God, for another Bible study. Praying, oh, God, that you will speak through our pastor, oh, God, as he speaks to us. That all of us will be blessed, Heavenly Father, but most of all, you will be glorified. And now, God, we come realizing that we have all sinned and come short of your glory. Come asking, O God, now if you will forgive us of all of our sins, Heavenly Father, and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. And now, God, we come praying for our families, Heavenly Father, and our loved ones. Praying, O God, that you would bless them with the blessings that they stand in need of. O God, we come this evening praying for those, Heavenly Father, that are sick and shut in. O God, praying that you would continue, O God, to touch their bodies, O God. For, Heavenly Father, we know that you are a healer. Heavenly Father, for you have more medicine in the hem of your garment than any doctor or any hospital, Heavenly Father. So we just come asking you right now to bless our sick. And then, Heavenly Father, we have those that are going through bereavement. Heavenly Father, we pray for them. We pray a special prayer this evening for Heavenly Father, for Deacon McLean and the loss of his brother, Frank McLean. Heavenly Father, praying that you would bless that family, Heavenly Father, and lift them up, Heavenly Father, and help them to understand that you said in your word that life is uncertain, but death is sure. And we know, Heavenly Father, that as sure as we come here, we're going to have to leave one day. But Heavenly Father, we just pray that when that time come, oh God, that we will be ready to meet you, oh God, in that last day. We come praying for the entire New Bethlehem family. Heavenly Father, help us to be what you would have us to be in these last and evil days. We come praying for the whole world, Heavenly Father, for so much is going on in our world. And Heavenly Father, we realize that we need a Savior. For, oh God, we can't do nothing without you. We need you every day of our lives. So, Heavenly Father, continue to be with us and lead and guide and direct us in the way that you would have us to go. And before we close, oh God, we pray for every pastor, every preacher you have called to preach your eternal word. Bless every church, Heavenly Father, who is giving glory, honor, and praise to your name. And, oh God, when it's all said and done, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, and we give you all of the praises. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen. Like for y'all to help us sing, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Sing it while on others thou art called. Do not pass me by. I'm crying a Savior, blessed Savior. Master, hear my humble cry. Do not pass me by. I'm crying a Savior, blessed Savior. Master, hear my humble cry. Oh, then why on others thou art calling? Master, do not pass me by. Amen. Let the church say amen. We want to thank you all for your voices and helping us with our devotion. And this will bring our devotion to a close. We're now going to turn it into the hands of our pastor. Pastor T. Jefferson Rogers is in your hand.
Real, real, real Jesus is real to me. Some may doubt him, but I know too much about him, for Jesus is real to me. What a blessing it is for us to be in the house of the Lord once again. Certainly, he has navigated us. He has led us through seen and unseen dangers. And it's a blessing for us to be in the house of the Lord once again. Certainly, we thank God for a portion of health and strength, minds that sane, hearts that stayed and fixed on him. Amen. So good to see you, and I pray that the sentiments are the same. It's good for you to see me, and it's good for us to see one another. We are not looking upon, we are not viewing, but we are able to see one another. Amen. Psalms 25. We have handouts. If you don't have a handout, Brother Rancher, if you raise your hand, He will make sure you get a handout if you don't have a handout. Psalm 25, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Amen. 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 John chapter 14, John chapter 14. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 15. John 14, beginning with verse 15. It reads, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now go back to verses 16 and 17, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Come on, get me straight up there. Abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. He know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Amen. I want to do an introduction on a study of the Holy Spirit. Introduction. I want to introduce what we will be studying for the next weeks. Imperative for us to know the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, the third person of the triune Godhead. Because it is important for us to know his person, his purpose, his power, why the Father sent the Holy Spirit to us. Now, let me tell you a reason he didn't send him. He did not send the Holy Spirit so that you control the Spirit. You are not in charge. You are not in control. And if we don't learn submission to the person of the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians chapter 4, we grieve. Now, I'm going to get into that in a minute because I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit has feelings. The Holy Spirit has feelings. That's why we know the Holy Spirit as a person. He's a person because he has a personality. And so I want us to study the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, the purpose and the power, so that you will be in right relationship with God. Amen. Question is, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? To many people, the Holy Spirit is nothing more than a name in a religious creed recited in worship services. To others, he is merely a vague influence mentioned in the scriptures. Even to those Christians who think they know who the Holy Spirit is, many times do not recognize him as a divine person.
That's right. That's right.
Who is the Holy Spirit? We know him theoretically, but we really don't know him practically. We need to know him. And what his function is, as John records the words of Jesus, that he's not only with us, but he's in us. That he's the influence of God to influence us within, that the influence of God within be made manifest without. That when a supernatural Spirit, a supernatural being like the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, comes and resides in a natural man, that man then shifts from being natural to supernatural. Holy Spirit gives man the ability to obey God. That's why John speaks of the commandments of God. The commandments of God, and he puts with the commandments of God the function of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is the empowerment of God to obey God. Because you cannot obey God by your own strength and power. You need the paraclete. You need holy aid from God to obey God. Amen. So who is this Holy Spirit? What is his purpose? What is his function in my life? Am I still to live life as I have lived life prior to my conversion? Or should it be evident that the Holy Spirit is in my life and has empowered my life to live according to God's word? It should be evident that the Holy Spirit is in you. Amen. Amen. Listen, it's easy to misunderstand what is meant by the Holy Spirit as a person, because in our finite thinking, we only think of people are persons being that are flesh. So speaking of the Holy Spirit as a person does not mean to subscribe to him physical characteristics such as hands and feet and eyes and ears. In other words, if that's your take, if that's what you're trying to do, you're trying to make God like you. Because the Bible says that God does not have a physical body. God is a spirit. Oh, so when we talk about being in the image of God, we're not talking about physical characteristics. You cannot see being in the image of God when you look in the mirror, because your physical countenance, your appearance is not that of God. Now, you may look like your mama, you may look like your daddy, but when it speaks of you being in the image of God, you looking like God, the Imago Dei, it's speaking of your spiritual identity, your spiritual appearance, how you look spiritually. Now, that's key, because that's how we identify with God spiritually. But you cannot identify with God spiritually if the Holy Spirit is not in you. We don't subscribe to God physical characteristics such as hands and feet, eyes and ears. A personality is one who thinks, feels, and exercises his will. Now, I want you to underscore that. A personality is one who thinks, feels, and exercises his will. The Holy Spirit is a divine person because he has the attributes of a personality, which are intellect, volition, and emotions. Now, I'm going to get to that by the time we end this lesson today. How we see in Scripture the Holy Spirit, intellect, he's not dumb. How we see his volition, his will, and how we see his emotions. I want you to see it. Now, I shared one with you already, that he experiences grief. That when we sin, the Holy Spirit experiences grief. We grieve the Holy Spirit. That's Ephesians chapter 4, I think verse 30. But now let's look at a few points, and I just want to kind of bump this thing, and you know, I'm not going to go too much into depth, but I want to kind of give you perspective of what we're going to be talking about for the next weeks. Okay, number one, doctrine of the Holy Spirit as a divine personality. Doctrine of the Holy Spirit as a divine personality. That the doctrine of the Holy Spirit as a divine personality is not only extremely practical, but also fundamental to our knowledge of God and our relationship to him. Now, understand that it is extremely practical, but also fundamental to our knowledge of God and our relationship to him. You can't know God if the Spirit of God is not in you. Come here Jesus in John chapter 3. He said to Nicodemus, after Nicodemus came to him under the cloak of darkness, he says, you must be born again. But this thing of born again, he speaks of being born of the Spirit and being born of the water. That if the Spirit of God is not in you, then you can't know God. You can't know God in your flesh. You have to be born again. You have to be saved. And it happens when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Then the Holy Spirit is given. Then he takes up residence on the inside of you to connect you with God. Now, let me tell you what happens. Because prior to you being saved, you are body and soul. You body and soul. There's no capital S spirit in you. So being that you body and soul, you control, determine your own way of thinking, which is warped, your own emotions, which is unstable, and your own determination, which is your will. Because the Holy Spirit is not in you to influence. But when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, listen now, Lord and Savior, or Savior and Lord. Lord means that he's in charge. He's in control. He influences. He orders your life. So then he places his spirit on the inside of you. Now, when he was here on earth, tabernacling among the human predicament, he was outside of man, influencing man by his presence. But when he went to be with the Father, he says, I'm sending you another comforter. And notice in chapter 14, he says he's going to be with you and he's going to be in you. So now that you are saved, your emotions, your will, and your intellect are controlled and influenced by the Holy Spirit. He is a divine personality. So we need to know him practically and fundamentally. And we need to know him in our knowledge of God and in our relationship to God. Anyone who knows God the Father and God the Son without having a true understanding of God the Holy Spirit has not attained the Christian conception of God, nor has he come to fullness of Christian experience. There's a lack. You're missing something. And we see it a lot. That's why you can have people professing to know him, but live that same old life. Y'all gonna make me do it. That's why they can claim to know him and still be mean. Can claim to know him and be inconsiderate of people's needs. The greatest need a person has is salvation. And you can claim to know him and be so disinterested in or uninterested in somebody else's salvation. But when you really know him, and you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit influences you to fulfill the will of God. Not your will. You know how many people come to church still hung up on their own will? They make everything about themselves. You know, we talk about narcissism. You know how many narcissistic Christians you have? They're so caught up in themselves. No concern about anyone else. It's because they have not surrendered their will over to God. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is not in charge of their will, their emotions, and their intellect. You know, we have some smart folks. Smart people. But you can be book smart and Bible illiterate. Because you're a school teacher, don't make you a Sunday school teacher. Because, see, you don't have to have the Spirit of God to teach, you know, in school. But for you to understand the things of God, you got to have the Spirit of God in you. Listen, the Holy Spirit, as a divine personality, the Holy Spirit has wisdom, understanding, knowledge, fortitude, counsel, pity. He has all of it. The Holy Spirit, I said, is not dumb. He has everything necessary to be a personality. That's why we see him as a person. So, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit as a divine personality. And next week, I'll deal with this in-depthly. This doctrine of the Holy Spirit as a divine personality. But then let's deal with, just kind of bump, the doctrine of the Trinity. The doctrine of the Trinity. This, we know, you know, the argument of Trinity is not mentioned in the Bible, but we understand what it means, three in one. Three in one. You know, we messed around and named our daughter Trinity, and it seemed at times she had three in one. She's active. Three in one, but three in one. We understand the doctrine of the Trinity, and we understand the foundation for study of the Holy Spirit, that he's the third person of the triune Godhead. Third person. Third person. Now we deal with the plurality existing in Godhead. The plurality existent in the Godhead. That in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God referred to our image and our likeness using plural pronouns to refer to himself. Many such references confirm the reality of the triune Godhead. Three in one. Three in one. Three in one. But then notice in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The Hebrew word for God that is used is in plural form. Despite the monotheism of the Hebrews, the plurality of persons in the one Godhead, that he's three in one. We know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We even see it in creation. For the Bible says that in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And earth was without form, void. And God said, let there be. He spoke words. And the Bible says that the Spirit hovered over. You know, before God said, let there be, the Spirit hovered over. So we see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In that, God the Father said, let us create. He stepped out on nothing and said, let there be. And the moment he spoke, we see that the word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, because John helps us with that in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And then the Holy Spirit hovered over. Nothing happened in terms of creation until God spoke. That the Holy Spirit only hovered over until God spoke. And the moment God spoke, things came to be. Let us. And then he goes on to say in verse 26, let us make man. So the triune Godhead was involved in creation and in making man. Made everything that's upon the earth, everything in heaven, everything under the earth. Triune Godhead. We'll see that in a few weeks. But then notice the relationship to the Holy Spirit as God. I'm going to ask this. When was the last time you worshiped the Holy Spirit? If they are equal, you worship the Father, you worship the Son, but when was the last time you worshiped the Holy Spirit? Y'all quiet. Now, you say they're equal, they are one. When was the last time you worshiped the Holy Spirit? So it's important to us, for us, to understand the person of the Holy Spirit and his effect on our perspective of worship. If we think of the Holy Spirit as merely an impersonal influence of our divine power, we will inevitably rob him of the honor and the worship he is due. When have you given unto God total worship? Worshiping God in all of his being. Boy, y'all are, look how y'all looking at me. Y'all have never heard of that before, have you? Think about, even the Holy Spirit plays a role in your salvation. That we go through it again, and we were careful to talk about it in the covenant of redemption, that the Father planned, Jesus purchased, the Holy Spirit convicts you for conversion and seals you. That you are not kept in salvation by your own strength. The Holy Spirit sealed you. Now, we talked about, you know, the Holy Spirit and his part in creation, but yet we somehow see him as a lesser person than God the Father, God the Son, because we don't understand him. That he's not a lesser person. They are equal. They're equal. So when was the last time you worshiped the Holy Spirit? You want to know why you can't answer? It's because you think the Holy Spirit should surrender to you instead of you surrender to him. Y'all have time? That his power is to be surrendered to, not used by man. See, we see him as only empowering us or endowing us for special occasions. That means that we can turn him on and off when we get ready. That's not how he works. He has been given to you so that you surrender to him. So the Holy Spirit is not to be used for our own purposes. Many Christians are gone astray on this point. Many are trying to get a hold of some divine power that they can use according to their will or giftings instead of surrendering their lives to the person of the Holy Spirit. See, you need the Spirit to make you more than happy on Sunday. You know, that's only time we consider the Holy Spirit moving is when we feel a certain way. When a certain something is said or a certain feeling is experienced. But he's more than a tingling feeling. And a shout. That he's God in you. That you are to surrender your life to. Every day. Notice the Holy Spirit influences Christians for God's purpose. I want you to underscore that. That your life is about God's purpose. It's about what God wants, what pleases God. Now I got to shift us because we've been living life for our own purposes, our own will, and we think we can just get in touch with God and then God will send us an empowerment to get what we want. And if God doesn't, we are not happy with God because we don't understand that God created us for his pleasure and his will instead of our own. That's why we don't live sellout lives. Lives that's completely surrendered over to God, because we don't understand the working of the Holy Spirit. That he's not to surrender or submit to us. And surrender to us, but he's in charge. He's in control. And we are to live our lives surrendered to the influence of the Holy Spirit for God's purposes. We need to acknowledge the Holy Spirit as he works on earth and yield to him in complete obedience to his will. Now, we're gonna get into a deeper study of recognizing the mission and ministry of the Holy Spirit, that he indwells hearts of believers, works out the eternal plan of God in the life of the believer, restoration to the image of God. And that's his mission and ministry. See, you don't see anything down here about money. You don't see anything down here about a Mercedes or a mansion or anything. But he works out the eternal plan of God in the life of the believer. So it's about the workings of God, the will of God. Now, let me take you through this, understanding the elements of personality. I got to bump it, and I again get into a deeper study in weeks to come, but I just want to bump it. He's a personality because he has intellect. He has knowledge. He has intellect. He has knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit, lowercase s, of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the spirit of God. So the Spirit of God knows the things of God. Get it now? The Spirit of God knows the things of God. The Spirit of God knows you. And the Spirit of God knows how to intercede, make intercession for you. So he has knowledge. He knows God, he knows you, and he knows what's appropriate for you according to God's will. See, everything you asking in prayer is not appropriate. And so the Holy Spirit filters some things he don't take up before God, because what you're asking is outside of the will of God. And so to keep from being an insult to God, he filters and speaks to God what's within the will of God. He knows the things of God. He has knowledge. Notice John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is not forgetful. Neither is God forgetful. You know, I hear some people say, well, you need to remind God of his word. God hadn't forgot his word. You're the one need help remembering the word. That's what John is saying. That the Holy Spirit will bring all things back to your remembrance. The things that Jesus has said, one of his functions is to bring it back to your remembrance. In other words, keep it before you. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit will do when we're talking about remembrance. You know, you can be set to do something outside of God, and the Holy Spirit in you will bring the word of God up to you, back up. You read it and bring it up to you again and say, you know you can't do that. Because it says in such and such book, such and such chapter, and in such and such verse, thou shalt not. He'll bring it back to your remembrance. Or you kind of set your heart to get even with somebody who have mistreated you. And then the Holy Spirit will start bringing back those verses to do good. And you really don't be wanting to hear it at that time, but the Holy Spirit just keep on talking. And said, love them who despitefully. And then he goes on to say, vengeance is not yours. It's the Lord's. And then if your enemy is hungry, not only do you just pass them on by, but you got to, you know, show extreme kindness. And then the Holy Spirit is just steady working with you and say, if they're hungry, you got to feed them. Your enemy, not your friend, not just your friend, but but your enemy. And all this stuff start coming back. And if they thirsty, you got to give them drink. And if they out, you got to bring them in. And all this kind of thing. You really don't want to let it go. You want to kind of hold on to, you know, that unforgiveness. And then he just go on in the model prayer in Matthew 6 and then in Luke 11 he says, Lord, forgive me of my trespasses as I. And then he put you right there as I. And the Holy Spirit said, is that not talking about you? And then, you know, when you get low sometime and your mind go to playing with you, Satan go to working with you now, and you low and you don't feel like you saved, and you kind of, you know, way down there in loaded bar. And Satan speaking in one ear and said, now, you know, if you were saved, you wouldn't be going through what you're going through. And then the Holy Spirit go to speaking to you and reminding you of scripture. That you save and you seal. Amen. And he take you back to your initial encounter with God. And then he start bringing back up scripture. That you saved until the day of redemption. And then he goes on and just keep on working with you. And then the next thing you know, when you come out of that little consultation with the Spirit, you feel a whole lot better. See, he's bringing it back to your remembrance. Now, why does he need to bring it back to your remembrance? Because the battleground is the mind. See, Satan can't do nothing to you, but he'll make you do something to yourself. Amen. If he can get in the mind. Amen. So he brings it back to your mind. Hallelujah. So he's intelligent. He has intellect. He's not dumb. He has knowledge of God, and he has knowledge of us. He's on the inside of us. And he knows how we are on the inside. See, some stuff you can hide from folks because they can't see it. You know, people don't have the ability of getting inside of you to know how you really feel about a certain thing. Even to know how you really feel about them. You know, we have a way of hiding our real feelings and emotions and what we really think, you know. But the Holy Spirit is on the inside. So he knows God, he knows us, he has knowledge, and then he's the comforter to help us. But then he has volition, he has will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. But all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. Notice volition or will is attributed to the Holy Spirit in the scriptures to that teach us concerning the gifts of the Spirit. That the Holy Spirit came to earth to fulfill the will of God in the earth. So it's about God's will. There's a tug of war that goes on inside of you every day. Your will versus God's will. Every day, that's what Paul was speaking of in Romans chapter 7, the tug of war. You know, some people even say, well, God, let me handle this. And when I come to something that's a little too much for me to handle, then I give that over to you. But it's God's will that you give over even the simplest things, the most minute things, because you're not to do anything according to your own will. But you are to live your life according to the will of God. Every day is a tug of war. Every day. Pretty much in every situation. You ever got in trouble at work? And if you told the truth, you was afraid you'd get fired. And so you didn't tell the truth. You told just a little white lie. Tug of war every day. Am I going to be truthful? Which is truth is of God. Or am I going to, you know, preserve my own job and keep my own way? Tug of war. You know, we often say what we think God doesn't have a problem with. And we know it's a violation of Scripture. And we're constantly trying to bend the word to fit our own situations. Tug of war. And listen, we're so bad off that if we see someone else doing what we are bending the word to do, we'll condemn them. But we'll make it all right when it comes to self. Tug of war. Tug of war. Trying to get around the will of God. But you are to live your life to satisfy the will of God. Here's the last thing, and I got to quit. Emotions. The Holy Spirit has feelings. Then in Romans chapter 15, verses 30 to 32, it reads, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit," notice love of the Spirit, "that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, here it is again, and may with you be refreshed." Now, notice, if you will, the phrase, "the love of the Spirit." It's easy for us to see God loves us, because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And it's easy for us to see the Son loves us because we know the Son gave his life. That's right. "That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." But how often do we consider the Spirit loves us too? Because it says the love of the Spirit. So he has emotions. He loves. It demonstrates the Holy Spirit as a divine person living in us and loving us. That there's not any antagonizing spirit in us. There's a spirit in us that loves us. The Holy Spirit loves me. The Holy Spirit loves you. Now, I spoke of this earlier, that he's grieved when we don't obey God. He's grieved. When we sin, the Holy Spirit experiences grief. Wow. That it's as you are breaking the heart of the Holy Spirit. Listen to it. "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." This is an introduction of what we will study over the next weeks as we delve biblically to understand the doctrine of the Holy Spirit as a person, as having power, purpose. Any questions? All right. Yes, ma'am. Yes, the Holy Spirit takes our prayers to Christ. Christ being at the right hand of the Father gives our prayers to the Father. Yeah. They intercede. Now, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Okay? So it's not a contradiction of roles. He went away. He said, it's necessary that I go away, that I send you another comforter. Because he didn't want to just be with them in presence. He wanted to fulfill Old Testament scripture, which says that the tablets or the word would be etched upon their hearts. So the Holy Spirit put the word of God on the inside of us. So now we have him within. So, yeah, he intercedes for us. And then he speaks to Christ, and then Christ speaks to the Father. Now, when you look at the Trinity, and I shouldn't open this can, but I'm going to kind of work with it. I'm just going to say, you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. To communicate, you have to start from the bottom and go up. That without the Spirit, there's no communication with the Father. He's a spiritual being. So you can't speak to God and talk to God in your flesh. We were talking earlier about Abraham. And Abram tried to do things his own way, so he had a son of the flesh. He failed to hear the communication of God. And when he ceased to hear God, he erred in the flesh. Ishmael. And then we know that he also had a son of promise, Isaac. Man, y'all gonna make me so. So it's important for us to yield to the voice of God that he has placed within us. Now he's not speaking to us from a cloud. He's speaking to us through his word, through the work of the Holy Spirit to bring to our remembrance what he says. This is what he's speaking. This is what he's speaking. Did y'all hear me? You want divine revelation? Right here. This is a sealed book. Sealed book. You know, so when the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, which is, you know, the third person of the triune Godhead, but you also have an evil trinity. You have dragon, beast, false prophet. And if we're in the third person of the Holy Trinity, we are under the third person of the evil trinity, which is false prophets, which is empowered by the spirit of Antichrist. But, you know, that's another study. That's another study. All right.
Hey, you said they all equal, right?
Yeah.
When was the last time that we worshiped the Holy Spirit? So we worship God, Jesus, and we worship the Holy Spirit, they all equal?
By theory. But are we worshiping him by intention? We didn't even know to worship him. We just knew to worship God, worship the Holy, worship Christ, and hadn't been taught to worship the Holy Spirit. We're doing it by theory, but not intention. But you need intention to match theory. You need to know. I just told you. I just told you. So now you just intend to do it. You can't do what you don't know to do. That's why I challenged us in that way, that when was the last time you ever thought about the Holy Spirit as being worshipped? All right. It's time for us to go. Y'all ready? All right. See, we got a long ways to go. And I'm going to deal with each point in depth over the next weeks. So that's my task, is to dig deeper and to share with you from the Word of God what the Word of God says about the Holy Spirit as a personality, as a person, the third person of the triune Godhead. This is some rich stuff. You know, off time, we rich stuff. Listen, you don't want to miss it. And if you want your home empowered, if you want people that you know empowered, and you want them to know as you know, you better bring them. You better bring them. All right, let us stand. I got to go quickly. We got a meeting. So if I run out, I got to run out of here, so I can't mingle with you tonight. We have a meeting. All right. Father in heaven, we thank you for all that has been said to us, revealed unto us by way of your scripture. We pray, Father, that we receive it, Lord, and that it be a part of our knowledge of Christ, knowledge of the God the Father, knowledge of the Holy Spirit, that we give proper worship due to the Godhead. We ask, Father, for your guidance, your guardianship, Lord, that you keep us. And we know, Father, that it is you and you alone who is the caregiver, captain, and caretaker of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for these your people that have come. We pray that you bless them and then all of the prayer requests that they have in mind and in heart. Lord, we know you know because you know all things. Bless, Lord. Touch, heal, deliver, and set free in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that you keep us safe in our travel. Lord, let us make it to our humble abode. Lord, give us rest. Lord, relax us that we be refreshed to do it, Lord, again on tomorrow in a greater way. Lord, we pray for the bereaved, Deacon McLean and his family and others who have lost loved ones, Brother Marlon and his wife, his in-laws, her father. We pray their strength. We pray, Lord, that you keep them and know that you are God and you said these things would be. That your son proclaimed in the word that he's going away to prepare a place for us. And if he goes and prepare a place for us, he'll come again and receive us unto himself. That where he is, we will be also. Lord, keep him blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Roger, get this thing off of him. Put on. Not if you're gonna go that way.